day. My name is Nzinga Qunta. In this episode of Standard Bank Corporate and Investment Banking podcast series, I'm joined by Rentsho van Tonner, who is the head of power.
And I'm heading up the power sector within the global P&I sector team. Also looking at the rest of the continent as well as South Africa from a power and infrastructure perspective.
Thanks for joining me, Rentsho. Let's kickstart our conversation by giving you the opportunity to tell us more about your role.
So being head of the power sector is an extremely exciting role. We look at the sector strategy for the bank, not only within CIB, but feeding into the broader group strategy for the power sector. We look at different subsectors within the sector and also how do we develop and manage our innovative product offerings and target those clients that we believe are most important and who do we want to partner with. So it's not only about the client partnerships, but also the broader strategy around developing the sector and enhancing innovation within the broader framework of our appetite.
It's quite a big responsibility, especially with the current challenges facing the energy and infrastructure sectors.
Yeah, when we look at the power sector, there's a number of things that jump to mind. And I think most important, especially currently within the context of South Africa, is the limited or lack of supply in terms of addressing the demand out there. And we see this as not only a trend in South Africa, but expanding into the rest of Africa as well. So many people will complain about load shedding, but at the same time, we understand the challenges around putting effective new supply on the map, trying to fast-track processes in terms of new generation. And I think one of the biggest challenges that we face every day as a lender into the sector is how do we try and unlock the bottlenecks that we currently see. So it's a slow rollout of these generation projects. We need more flexibility. We need less red tape. And we need to streamline, you know, the interaction between government and private sector to be able to fast-track these new projects to be able to address the demand gap.
But I believe that some challenges do bring in opportunities. What do you see as opportunities in these sectors, particularly in the power sector?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a number of opportunities in the sector, and I think when we look at the current generation challenges and where we see the national utility, specifically referencing South Africa, in terms of the slow rollout and expansion of existing power stations or existing projects in terms of extending the life, we see this as an extremely good opportunity, not only in terms of utility scale projects, but also looking at the decentralized energy space and more generally where we refer to off-grid grid-tied solutions where entities can take the opportunity and develop their own generation capacity. As a bank, we've been at the forefront in developing solutions for our clients, whether that is on a smaller scale through our business and commercial banking offerings or through PowerPulse or through more of a CIB approach with more complex financing and sizable lending proposals and solutioning to those type of clients where they have much bigger energy needs.
As a corporate banking division, one of your key roles is financing projects. Just give us an example of the recent projects that the bank is very proud to have financed.
Yeah, thanks. That's a good question. There's a number of reference projects that we would love to talk to, but I think the most prominent is what we announced recently as part of the South African government's rollout of 2,000 megawatt under the risk mitigation program. And we've supported three projects with a client that have great ambitions in terms of expanding its footprint, not only in South Africa, but across the continent. So these three projects are first of its kind. It's effectively 150 megawatt of solar plus battery energy storage. We will build 540 megawatt of PV in the Northern Cape, close to Kenhardt, as well as 1.1 gigawatt hours of battery storage. And this will be absolutely key in terms of providing more baseload type of energy from renewable energy solutions. And I think the important point to note is that it can be done. Standard Bank is the sole MLA and underwriter of those projects. And we are very proud to be associated with that. So that is mainly on the utility scale. If you look at, you know, more on the decentralized energy side and what do we do on captive power, there's also a number of opportunities where we're talking to clients, developing solutions with clients around unlocking some of those projects. There's not a lot I can mention at this point, but I think the important thing is to note is that we've been mandated on three large mining projects with our mining counterparts. And those are key examples of how the sector is actually evolving, where the mining sector together at this point in time already have earmarked around about 3.5 gigawatt of generation projects that they would like to develop. So we are involved in that, and I think that's also leading the sector just from a more forward-looking perspective, especially in light of the regulation opening up in South Africa. And now I'm referring to the 100 megawatt licensing and registration process with NERSA.
So where are we as a country in South Africa compared to other markets such as Africa or international when it comes to renewable energy?
Renewable energy is such a hot topic at the moment. I think every single country almost started to look at it way back, and there's definitely, you know, progress being made across the continent, across the globe. And I think if you look at South Africa and the African continent, certainly South Africa is leading the way. We currently have close to 7,000 megawatt already being procured under the government program, which just over 6,000 megawatt is already operational, which is really something to be proud of. I think the regulatory framework as well as government's commitment to align future generation capacity with the ambitions around climate change has played a critical role in fast-tracking and developing these projects within the current targets being set. If you look at the rest of the continent, there's certainly pockets of development, but it has been much slower. And I think one also need to acknowledge, you know, these type of projects do require infrastructure, transmission networks to be able to connect. What we've seen in Africa, however, is that there has been far more progressive developments around the decentralized energy power space, where you have off-grid opportunities, solar home systems being far more advanced in terms of developing and being rolled out compared to, for example, in South Africa. So I think one do not see that there's a typical solution for each and every country that you can cookie cut. It is more develop the solution, implement that, and see that it work within the context of a specific market or country. And to that extent, I think, you know, African markets are looking for flexibility. We do have large-scale hydro in certain areas. However, we may not have the infrastructure to evacuate that power. So these type of smaller solutions do make more sense. In South Africa, if we keep on expanding our renewable energy generation capacity, we will need, you know, more mid-merit type of electricity solutions, for example, gas to power, which we are seeing currently as a transition fuel. So very important to ensure that you have the flexibility in an energy system to be able to support the corporates and the various clients on the other side.
Do you see investing in renewable energy as key to economic recovery and growth, not only in South Africa, but across the African continent?
Yes, absolutely. I think I do get quite passionate when I talk about these type of opportunities, and not only because there's such a good story around social upliftment. These projects are being developed in rural areas where the communities are part of these. But more broadly, you know, the impact that these projects will have on economic growth, economic support, and, you know, without electricity, without energy, no business can really, you know, support its growth ambitions. So what we see is that this is becoming more of a topical theme around markets, around growth expectations, and most of our clients want to have the conversation. And it's not only about how we can get power into our businesses. It's also about the energy transition. It's very topical in South Africa leading up to COP at the end of the year. And how do we as a country shift away from coal towards cleaner and greener technologies? We see companies taking this more serious. And I think that the key advantage for us as a country is that we do have so many resources to tap in. It's not only solar and wind. It's much broader than that. We can find a balanced system and make sure that we enhance and develop also job creation and social upliftment whilst we're doing that.
And when you have these conversations with clients, do you get a sense of renewed hope when it comes to dealing with these challenges?
I think it's a bit of a combination. A lot of clients are extremely frustrated. They feel that, you know, there can be much more done in terms of supporting the development of sustainable electricity. They want to see reliability. They want to find comfort that there's not radical increases in prices. And from that point, we've seen that clients are more open to the conversation around looking at different energy solutions, not only renewables, even as I've mentioned, you know, maybe bringing in gas industrialization as part of the process. So it has been a combination of solutioning for the client, which really excites me. You know, clients want to partner with us. They want to be part of the solution. And I think the key thing is that, you know, we all want to succeed here. And at the end of the day, you know, see economic growth.
But these projects seem to take a little bit longer to materialize. What's so complex about them?
Yeah, I think especially the utility scale projects, which are quite sizable, we do see that those projects are to a certain extent, you know, linked to government processes where you need to ensure that you follow the right procedures. We need to have environmental approvals in certain cases, you know, specific approvals around port infrastructure and licensing. But what we do find is that there's certainly a willingness from government to try and find ways to fast track the implementation and execution of these. I mean, the other big challenge we face at the moment is that many of these projects that are well developed and ready to be bid into a competitive process are actually based in the Northern Cape, where we got excellent solar resources. So given the bottleneck that we have and the delays in putting transmission infrastructure in the Northern Cape, it automatically linked to developers looking at alternative sites and where they can actually fast-track these developments. So it is a bit of a frustration in terms of trying to get the best projects being bid and feed into the grid whilst we have these challenges around transmission network. But I think what we need to acknowledge is that there is certainly a willingness from government to find ways to be more efficient. And this exemption in terms of the 100 megawatt licensing and rather move to a registration process with NERSA has certainly given, you know, the green light in terms of companies being more open-minded and efficient in terms of investigating alternative resources and projects to supply electricity to themselves.
Are there any regulatory challenges hindering the speed of implementation of these projects?
The regulatory framework has always been a topic of much discussion. When we look at the regulatory challenges and current, you know, progress that we've made, I think it's really promising. When you look at a utility scale project, we have to go through various hurdles in order to get to the point where you can sign with government, proceed to the level of commercial operation date, construction, etc. But it does require various government departments to be able to support you, whether that is through environmental approvals, ministerial determination, NERSA licensing, or in the case of a gas-to-power project, you know, port approvals to execute those projects. In the case of embedded generation, the most important and talked about regulatory stumbling block to date has been the licensing from NERSA. However, that has been exempted more recently, and what we've seen is that there has been significant progress in terms of getting more projects on the self-generation side to move forward. However, it is not that simple. You still require, in the case of wheeling, where you wheel electricity from the generator to the off-taker, an agreement with Eskom. We can certainly improve that process. In the case of municipal grids, you need a wheeling or system use agreement with the specific municipality. And there's a lot of, you know, uncertainty around exactly how the process works, what are the rates, the tariffs that this can be done, or even for a specific region or area, you know, is that possible? So those things can be streamlined. I think there's a lot of momentum currently through the process and the pressure on the system due to the supply challenges. But I think the last point around regulatory side is also the requirements where you need to have grid compliance from Eskom and signing and confirmation of that, which is an important part of the overall project execution timetable and scheduling. So I think all in all, there's great momentum. There's certainly a willingness to try and unlock these hurdles, to reduce the red tape and to be able to find ways to fast track getting megawatts on the grid or megawatts into, you know, the various corporates. But certainly a focus for everybody at the moment.
Thanks, Rentsha, for joining me today. Now, as we come to the end of our conversation, Standard Bank announced the climate policy recently. How did it affect your department, and what's your department's role in delivering towards the policy?
Standard Bank's climate policy is an extremely important milestone for us as a group. And through corporate and investment banking, we've been quite focused in terms of the type of opportunities that we would like to pursue and how do we link and support our drivers and our approaches into these broader commitments that we've made as a group. So currently we look at around about 300 billion in terms of driving sustainable loans and investing. And linked to that, you know, we would like to do around about 50 billion within the next 3 years, only focusing on renewable energy. So you can clearly see the commitment towards clean energy, sustainable investing, and how do we link that through to all our clients. I think our recent signing of the three projects last week is a great testament of our commitment, not only in South Africa, but also in terms of the continent and what we would like to do. So there's more and more momentum being built, more clients are getting excited, and we believe that, you know, as Standard Bank, we will live up to that expectation and be able to support the achievement of those goals.
A very insightful conversation. Is there anything that you'd like to leave our audience with that we may not have spoken about?
Yeah, I think such an exciting topic. And I think the most important thing for me is to leave everybody with the thought that and belief that, you know, it can be done. Remember, the bank is not only a funder, we are a partner. We want to work with our clients to solution for growth. And we believe that, you know, the power sector, especially through clean energy and flexible technologies, we can certainly make a difference. Thank you.
Standard Bank. It can be. Standard Bank is an authorized financial services and registered credit provider.